Praise God. Well, I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kinston, Ohio. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we are so thankful to be into the new year and God is good. Amen. And it's kind of interesting because we've heard many people having some sickness and challenge, but you know, God's faithful. He's faithful and he's going to be faithful to each and every one of us. So this morning, we just want to thank you for being here, and we're just going to enter into a time where we just worship God. I tell you what, it's so critical for each and every one of us to remember that God is with us and that he is personally a part of our life every day, and we need to make sure that we do all we can to keep our heart and our relationship open to the will of God. Amen. And so this morning, we're just going to be thankful that God is with us, and we're just going to step into this moment, and we're just going to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. Be grateful, we are here. Thankful in my heart, I was lost, but now I'm found. Let us be grateful, we are here. Covered in safety, I find rest within the Father's hand. Your love is all around me. Faithfulness inside me, your faithfulness before me, and I will dance, lift to my hands, ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. I will sing, lift a shout, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Be grateful we are his. Promise of life eternal freely given unto me. Your love is all around me. Gratefulness inside me. Your faithfulness before me. Before me. Faithfulness inside me. Your faithfulness. is before me, before me. And I will dance, lift up my hands, hey, Lord, on an healer, my friend. I will sing, lift a shout, hey, Lord, I'm gonna cry in my place. I will dance, lift up my hands, hey, Lord, I'm gonna healer, my friend.
Faithfulness, faithfulness. stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort. I'm still in your
And we believe that you are the God of our miracles, Father God. That you're not just some distant God out there looking over the world and just being up on your throne. But Lord, you are here with us. And everything that we have need of, you have the answer to, Father God. And I thank you that right now, Father, this is a time that we have been under attack. This is a time of a testing and a trial. And I pray over every person in this congregation, Lord God. I thank you that your healing touch, whether it be physical, financial, mental, Lord, whatever the need is right now, I pray that you touch every single person. You come into their situation, Lord God, and you just bust up what the enemy is meaning for our demise. For the enemy is meaning to bring heartache unto us, to try to get us our focus off of you, that you just come and bust it up, Lord God, in the middle of all of it. Father God, bring peace to every situation. Bring healing to every situation. Bring provision to every situation. Father, I thank you that we are a people because we seek you, because we love you, because we are called by your name, that have favor, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that things are turning. The winds are turning. The winds are turning in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And everything that we have been seeing, everything that we have been fighting through, victory is coming. Victory is coming in Jesus'
name. Yes.
Hallelujah. And mountains are still being moved. Still being loose. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it.
Yeah.
Collarbone, and my brother wanted me to check about my heart, and it come back that I had heart issues, and I had to go get tests, and I was so nervous, and I got in there and I started doing the test, and God said, speak to that girl about the Lord. And we started talking, and here her dad had died like mine, her sister had died like mine. Like, it was just crazy how we were so much alike. And she's like, I gotta tell you this revelation. She said, did you ever realize, or did you ever think about how a little boy like David come against a giant? She said, he was just a little boy. And she said, God, she said, how did he just come against that giant? He said, because I got him through the lion. I got him through the bear. He said, and he was ready to face that giant for what I had already got him through. So like the worst situation, I was so scared and so nervous about, God had her right there for me. I know I was supposed to hear that. So he does get us through the lions. He does get us through the bears. Whatever giants we have to face, he's going to get us through them too.
Amen.
When you move, healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Miracles coming in this room. Miracles.
Set our hearts.
Lord, we just set our hearts.
This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. Lord, your healing power is a move. Have your way. Come and move in this house. We believe, Lord. This is a move.
Father, right now, your hand is on every situation, every issue, Father. Everything that people have been facing, Father, right now, you're loosening the working of miracles and healing. Father, you're flowing into their lives with healing and deliverance. And God, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is good to see each and every one of you.
Yes.
Amen. We missed you while we were on vacation.
We did.
But we did have an extraordinary time on vacation. Amen?
Yes. Ooh. If you see a little dirt on Pastor
Gina Phil. Had to deal with her champion husband because he was so phenomenal there. Amen.
I was champion.
And I had to deal with my championship wife. Amen.
You know, we play volleyball.
We play volleyball.
And they have a they have like a tournament every week and you draw teams, and we've been there going there for 9 years now, and I've never won. Phil's never won. How do you think I've ever been in a championship game? Never. And so this year, the first week we were there, Trish and I both, none of us has ever won, except for Mark. Mark had won before. But anyway, Trish and I won the first week. And so when I got in bed that night, I started laughing. I said, honey, you're sleeping with the champion.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And so then the next week, my team was against his for the championship team. And obviously, you know who won.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Wasn't my team.
Yeah.
So we both got to be champions, but we missed you all. We're glad to be back.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, I was hot.
Amen.
I was hot. In a spiritual kind of angry and anger that the kind of anger that Jesus turned the tables over in the synagogue. Like, this is enough. This is enough in God's house. All of the issues that I saw going on, all of the people that are getting hurt, all the people that are sick, all the people, I said, God, this is enough.
Amen.
And I started praying and I started really attacking and really quoting over you people. And 2 days later, I'm in the emergency care room.
Amen.
I'm like, you
praise
know what?
The Lord. Hallelujah.
This is enough. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, the victory's ours. We stay the course. We keep on. Victory's ours. Doesn't matter what we see in the natural right now.
Amen.
Daniel went to the lion's den, right? The lions were sitting next to Daniel.
Amen.
And he came out unharmed.
Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fiery furnace.
Amen.
And they came out not smelling like smoke.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to go through it, but we're going to come out of it not smelling like smoke.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, so we've got the EXO Marriage Conference coming up.
Yes.
Will be the 14th of February, so not this coming Friday, but the following Friday. We're going to have a meal here at 6:30. The conference starts at 8. It's not just for married people. It's for everybody. Listen, if you plan on being married or you want to be married or you think there's a possibility you could get married, you should come.
And
it
even
will give you
even
tools.
For those who have thriving, good marriages, the marriage conference isn't just for people who, now if you're struggling, definitely come, but the marriage conference is just to fortify and add additional information to your life.
Amen.
You should already have a very good, blessed marriage like I do.
Amen.
Are you still going to come to the conference? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
And
if you're like me, you're bringing them along so they can learn something. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm coming along so I can learn something.
Amen.
We also need you to sign up if you're coming.
Yes, because
so that we know how much food we need to make. And then on Saturday, it starts at 10. Come filled. There will be no food on Saturday, but we do want to celebrate.
Might have light snacks on Saturday.
Nope, nothing on Saturday, babe.
What?
Nope, nothing on Saturday. It'll be nothing. Come
all
with your drinks. Come with what you want. We'll have the meal taken care of on Friday.
Amen.
Amen. That'll be a late night getting home, getting up, getting back in here.
Okay, baby.
Yes, you're fine.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Ooh. We'll stop and get you something on the way.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. And then we have the teens are going to be here the next day on Sunday here at 5:30. So that's the Friday night, and Saturday night's the marriage, or Saturday morning is marriage conference, and then Friday night or Sunday night. Good night. I can't talk. Sunday night's our teens. So we encourage you to bring the teens out. They need a network of each other.
Men.
That stands on the word and that are strong so that they have somebody to go to. That's going to give them the word instead of somebody out there that's not saved that's going to give them something you don't want them to have. Amen? So y'all should be making sure that your teens get in here and fellowship with one another. Let them get built up on the word. Let them talk to one another. Let them pray for one another. Let them see that the struggle for a teenager is not just, it's not just me. How many of you, when you felt like when you were a teen, you felt like you were alone, that you're the only one that went through that stuff?
Amen.
Amen? And when you get together, you realize that, no, you're not alone. Others go through this. Amen? And it's not you. It's the enemy trying to tell you that you're this or that. Amen?
Amen?
But you're a child of the living God. And when you have others to connect with and to pray with you and to encourage you and to lift you up and to, you know, tell you who you are in the word, you need to get a hold of that. Amen?
Amen.
And then we went and saw the building today.
Amen.
I haven't seen it for a couple weeks, obviously. So we are curious as to what's going on. All the drywall's up. They're starting to mud.
Yep.
Like, it's looking pretty cool in there.
Yeah, they got pretty much everything in place now.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for mudding and finishing. And so we did.
I do want to say something real quick. Like, we've encouraged people to go out there. They're getting ready to lock it up. Doug told me he's getting ready to lock it down. But if you happen to go out there before they lock it down, Phil got a drywall screw in his foot, almost in his foot today. He felt it as he was stepping down and luckily was able to get it out of his shoe. Don't take small kids in there anymore. Because of the drywall and hanging up the drywall, there's more screws in there. And they're really sharp. And so it's just a dangerous... I can't imagine if a kid had... I know, but I'm a mom, right? I'm a mom. And to have a kid have something in their foot like that, that would be horrible. And it's going to be dirty because you got all that dirt out there. So
I got some...
he's all dirty.
Yeah. If you see my pants,
you'll know when
there,
we go out to the land. We'll come in and we got dirt.
Looking dirty, don't. These pants were clean until I went to the land this morning. Amen.
Amen. We got pushed back on our timeline again a little bit more. Of course, we've not had a date of completion yet because, you know, there's just been things that got pushed back. We were supposed to be painting next Monday.
But we're going to paint in March.
We're going to paint in March now because they have to get all that mudding done, and they're not as far along as what they thought they would be with that. So it's coming, and we have to, again, the wisdom and knowledge of Mr. Carroll.
Amen. Yeah.
Carroll said probably April. Around. Probably April.
Yeah.
Guess what? Probably April. So we'd have just listened to the wisdom. Yes, we wouldn't have been so frustrated fighting this along. So. Anyway, we're getting there. But
here's what I can assure you. When God's timing is done, that's when we're going to be in there. And it's going to be great. And the blessing of God is on it and on us. And you know what? I still say that we should remember the good things that we've already had in this building. Amen. I mean, literally, we have had hundreds of people give their life to the Lord in this building.
Yes.
We've seen miracles happen here. We've seen marriages take place and just... Yes. God has blessed us, and so we really need to just embrace what God is doing while we're ready for what he will do. Amen?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Is that everything? All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and let the children be released so they can get going on their studies and their message for today that God will deliver unto them and bless them. And going to be great, and we're going to take just a minute here. I want to read the book of Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read about a man named Cornelius, and it says, there was a certain man in Sisera called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I want you to understand that just giving money alone is not enough. I want you to know that God requires us to be Christians. And we need to be devout people that pray and that are honoring him and that have him be a part of every part of our life. And it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial unto God. I want you to know something, that very clearly and very openly, I want you to know that God speaks to us through the very fact that God sees and hears your prayers and he sees your offerings. I mean, the angel of the Lord said to Cornelius that what you have done, what you've done to minister to people, how you've prayed and what you've given, you know, when you talk about it, it says that his giving went up to God and created something where God could move on his behalf. I want you to know something, that what you do, how you live your life, how you pray, how you concentrate and work to be a Christian. And I don't mean work as in works, but just the very fact that you build that relationship with God, I want us all to know that what you've done over your life goes up to the Lord, and he's very much aware of it. Remember when Jesus was in the temple, and he was looking at the offering being taken, and there was a widow woman who brought two mites and gave it to the Lord. And that offering, which might seem small to many of us, was enough that God was aware of the big and the small that went in the offering that day. And I want you to know, God is aware of what you are giving him and what you are doing to to let him be a part of your life and where you're trusting him, God is very much aware of your prayers, your alms, and everything you do according to him and his will. And so we're just going to pray over tithes and offerings today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that just like Cornelius, Father, Lord, we need to see these specific examples where you came to specific people. And God, you let him know that his prayers and his alms had come right up to where you are, Father. And Lord, that give us confidence to know that you know where we are, God. That you hear us, that you're with us, that our prayers, our alms, and our life is coming up to you, Father. And you are moving and touching our lives accordingly. And Father, we just declare your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Hallelujah.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move.
Well, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. And this morning, I'm going to preach on a subject called faith towards God. Faith towards God, or faith in God. And I want you to really just listen to the message today and make sure that you are doing your part to understand how we must have faith towards God in everything that we're doing. And I want to start by reading in the book of John, chapter 1. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, is where we're going to start. But before I get there, I want to remind you that there are 7.5 billion people approximately on the earth today. 7.5 billion people. You know, there's 350 plus million people just here in America. And I want you to realize that out of that 7.5 billion, that means that there's nearly 15 billion hands out there. And each one of them, Nate, are uniquely and distinctly designed to belong to one person. You know, my DNA and my handprint identifies me and will never, ever be duplicated. I want you to know that in history, over all the generations that have been, never once has there been a duplication of DNA and fingerprints. Isn't it amazing that someone could have twins, triplets, or quintuplets? It doesn't matter. How many children are born of a mother at the same time? Each of those children, even twins, have such a unique identification that even between identical twins, their DNA and their fingerprints are structured differently. And I'm saying this to you because I want you to think about the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, the greatness of God, God's ability to be anywhere and with all of us all at the same time, but yet unique enough that he can come in and hear your particular thoughts, your particular needs, and who he has made you to be. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing to think about our God and what he has done for humanity. And I want to read this to you now out of the book of John, chapter 1, because it says something very powerful to us. John, chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, I want to really take this time to remind you that Psalms chapter 139 says that you are uniquely, wonderfully, and fearfully made. And when you think about that, that you as a human are wonderfully and fearfully made, I want you to really get the uniqueness of who you are, because what it means is that God took his time in structuring who you were going to be when you were born. God has clearly known you from the foundations until now, and he timed out where you would be, how you could grow up, and the opportunity to be a born-again believer. Amen? The most thing that I want you to see out of this particular scripture is that the Lord says, to those who believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. How did we become children of the living God? We heard about Jesus. We received him as Lord and Savior, and we made an open confession with our mouth. Lord, I need you to be my Savior. And when we did that, we released supernatural power by faith. Amen? And what I want you to understand is that throughout the course of your life and throughout the course of this journey as we live for God, one thing that needs to be in our life all the time is hearing the word of God so that faith can be released that will release the power of God into every day that we're a part of. You know, while I was in Aruba, I was just sitting there with Regina, and there'd be times that I was just thinking, and one of the things I thought about was the Wright brothers that lived right here in Ohio and came up with the airplane, amen? Now, first of all, that was crazy enough within itself, and think about the risk they took and how trying to endeavor to do things that had never been done before. But, you know, I was thinking about that because there is a scientific thing called thrust and all of that that relates to flying, but there's also the understanding that when you get up to the big supersized jumbo jets, there is a thing where science even is bewildered that planes as big as they get can go up into the earth. And here's what's amazing about that is that I want you to understand that whether it's flying or anything that man has ever come up with that's good and that's a blessing on this earth, you need to understand that not one measure of it is ever done by man alone. There is a grace and there's a mercy of God that comes upon something. And I want you to know that God has given something to each and every one of us, that goodness and mercy shall follow us that believe all the days of our life. I want every one of you to understand that as long as you will keep your heart towards God and use your faith, God is open to make sure that goodness and mercy is a part of your life. Amen? And what we need to know most of all, that on this journey called life, there's never a time where the Bible says that you're going to have it easy all the time. Amen? Goodness and blessing is going to come to you, but the Bible says while you're in this life, on this earth, remember that tribulation is a part of it. And the Lord said, be at peace, be at rest, because tribulation will come, but I am here. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we're resting in God's ability to move in our lives. And we need to know that God has released supernatural power. How do we access the power of God? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And here's what I'm telling you, believers, that we definitely want to make sure that we keep ourselves in prayer, we keep ourselves reading the word of God, and we keep ourselves doing those things such as coming to church and being in the presence of God and letting God's worship be around us so that we can make sure that there's always the power of God that's released on our life and on our behalf. Amen? I want to go right now to the book of Acts, and I want to read something to you in the book of Acts. And right here in the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I want to begin to read in verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. I want you to know something, that when we live a life of repentance, and what that means is that we're not just living a life where we have repented over our sins and all that when we just get saved, but there is a lifestyle of making sure that we reject man's way and receive God's way. Amen? And the Lord promises us that when we repent of following the way the world has us going and turn towards the Lord, that times of refreshing can come. Amen? And that God will touch us and refresh us. I want to go right now to Hebrews chapter 1, and I want to read something to you in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. I want to read something to you, and it says right here in Hebrews 6, 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Right here, I want to just stay here for a minute. What is repentance from dead works? Well, the Bible says that before we knew the Lord, there is a way that seemed right unto men, but it would only lead to destruction. And what this cautions us about is that once we are now saved and once God is the Lord of our life, then we want to make sure that we live a lifestyle of repentance from dead works. In other words, what that means is that from now on going forward, when we live our life, it's going to be out of a learned understanding of what the Word of God says and what faith says about our life. Amen? So in other words, you are no longer ever going to be a person now that resorts back to violence and anger to fight against your enemies. Amen? Now you're going to be a person that prays and a person that endeavors to live a good life and to be kind towards others, amen? And what happens is that we now start to live a life where we are always allowing ourselves to make sure that we are never living just under our own power as humans, amen? There are some experiences we had, there's some ways of thinking we had, there's some things that we did before we knew God that now that we know him, we're not going to be a part of that old thing. And then it says faith towards God. I just want to ask the question today, are we truly living with faith towards God? What that means is not only are we believing God in the middle of all of our times of need, but it means that now that I live with faith towards God, it means that just because something doesn't go my way, or just because something didn't work out exactly the way I saw it, I don't bend, I don't bow, and I don't turn from living for the Lord. If I'm a Christian when things are going well, guess what? I'm going to remain a Christian when things are going tough, amen? And that when we are in pursuit of things, I want us to know something. Each and every one of us are going to endeavor to do some things, and God is going to bless us. We're going to see the miraculous. We're going to see great things. But there's also times where we're going to try or endeavor to do something, and guess what? It's not going to work out exactly the way we want it to. You know, we're going to be in relationship with some people, and they're going to take a direction that we never thought they would take, and things are just not always going to be the way we want them to be. And that's when I need you to know for sure that that is critical for you to have your faith towards God. There's going to come some things in your life that you're going to have to say, Lord, I just put this in your hands, God. Father, I just trust you with it. God, I'm learning that this is not my timing. Woo! Hey, in this building process, good example for us, right? We thought we were going to be in that building October of last year. Amen. But here we are, but we are still not discouraged. We still know that it's going to happen, and we know that God in his timing is going to have something happen, and it's going to be great. Amen? So we have got to be people that learn how to say, hey, my faith in God or my faith toward God means that I trust him no matter what. Amen? Now we're going to go to the book of Mark, I believe. Hallelujah. I want to go to the book of Mark, and I just want to spend a few more minutes here on this subject of faith towards God or faith in God. And Mark chapter 11, I want to begin to read to you in Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. And this is a profound story because Jesus had went to a fig tree and went to get fruit, and there was nothing there, and he cursed the thing. And so the next day, this is what happened. Because Jesus had said on the day before that no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter or forever. And so the very next day, they're coming out, and it says, and in the morning, in Mark 11, 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, this is a good time for us to really give some consideration of faith towards God. Because here we see several times where the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, knew who he was, and would see him do miracles and see him do miraculous works, but it never failed that when he did something, someone was in awe of it. I mean, did the disciple think that it was not going to happen because Jesus spoke it and they had seen him speak over other things, and whatever he spoke, it happened, it came to pass. But here we notice that this disciple is surprised and said, oh my goodness, look, the fig tree that you cursed, it really did wither away, as though he expected some different result. And I want to tell you guys something, that when we believe God and when we are believing him, let's make sure that we don't ever let our faith escape what we believe God for. I mean, if you started a job, or if you're believing for someone, or you're believing for someone to be saved, or you're believing over a relationship, or you're believing over a health situation, I want you to make sure that you have your faith towards God and you stand in belief and know that God is going to do it. Amen? Not everything is going to happen at the exact moment or the exact time or the exact way, but you're going to see the faithfulness of God. Amen? And so this disciple was confounded to the point where he spoke openly and said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. You know, this is something that I'm certain the disciples could not believe could ever happen, that you could just speak to a fig tree and it would die. They certainly had never seen it before. And they certainly didn't see it until Jesus did it. But here's what I want to say. Have faith in God, even if you're believing him for something for the first time. You've seen your father be faithful. You've seen the Lord be faithful to you over the years. My goodness, we're saved because he's faithful. We're alive because he's faithful. We have seen blessing because he's faithful. And if you have seen the Lord bless you in an area or several areas, and I'm sure you have, then when you start believing God in new areas, or when you start believing God for what you need now, have faith in God. Have faith in him. He's deserving of it. He's been faithful. He brought salvation really even before you knew you needed salvation. He paid a price for it and brought it for us. And he has been faithful to us. Not one of us cannot sit here and not know things that God has been faithful for and things that God has done. So if we have some things that we're believing him for, even if we're believing him for the first time, have faith in God and know that he's going to bring a supernatural, miraculous outcome. Amen. Jesus says this to his disciples, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. I want you to hear something very clear, that God says that when you pray, you must believe him. When we pray, we need to believe God that what we've prayed and asked him for is real and is going to happen. When you pray, believe him. Have faith in God. And when you get concerned or when you get discouraged, look back and remember the things that God has been faithful to you over. Even look at yourself and look at how God has changed you. Look at who you are today compared to who you used to be because you've allowed God to work in your life. Even when you're believing for something that you've never faced before, you can still have faith and confidence in God because he has laid out a history of where he's been faithful to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to look here as we think about the faithfulness and the goodness of God. I want us to look here and just see what the Lord says to his disciples. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Praise God. I want us to see that God wants us to believe him at every opportunity because he knows what is good for us, he knows what's right for us, and he's going to do great things for us in our life. Amen? I want to go right now. Hallelujah. To a scripture that I hope you know well, and it's going to be in the book of Ephesians. And I want to go to the book of Ephesians, and I want to begin in chapter 3. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, I just want to start reading to you some things here in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Right there, do you see why you can have faith in God now while you're on the earth? Because it says that of the whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. See, it's one thing for us to believe in the patriarchs that are written about in the Bible. It's one thing for us to believe that people in heaven are blessed. Amen? But it's another thing for us to believe, and I want you to believe this, that you have the same access to God right now, even before you get to heaven. He says the whole family in heaven and in earth. Remember that the Bible says this, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to know that right now, God expects that we would open our heart, open our life, and use our faith in such a way that he can do the supernatural right here on earth. We are part of the family now. As children of God, as people who've given their heart to the Lord, you are a part of the family of heaven even now while you're still on the earth. That's a profound thing, isn't it? It's a powerful thing to know that even right now, while I'm on this earthly journey, I have access to my heavenly Father, and I am part of the family now. I want you to see that it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. While we are on this earth and while we are in this battle, I want you to understand something. God expects you to have a supernatural strength that comes upon you. Amen. He says that he will strengthen you with might in your inner man. I don't know if you know it or not, but that word might means power. That means that God is going to give you a grace, and he's going to give you a touch on your life and a strength on your life while you're here on this journey in the earth, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, if the Lord really dwells in our heart by faith, We will be rooted and grounded in love to the degree that even when things don't turn out the way we thought they were, we're not going to be moved. God will still find us faithful. I tell you what, he'll still find us going to church. He'll still find us singing his praises. He'll still find us believing in him. He will find us rooted and grounded in his love. And God has an expectation of you that you would just be rooted and grounded in him. You know, at some point, our Christianity has to be something that is not auctionable. It's not exchangeable, and it's worth us holding on to. Amen? And it says that he may be able to comprehend, or that we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. My goodness, I would pray that we would really be able to understand the love and the greatness of God towards us. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, we have an opportunity to be filled with joy. We have an opportunity to be filled with peace. We have an opportunity to know God's goodness, because all we have to do is look at Christ and what he did for us. And we've got to be able to look at the man who came, lived on this earth, grew up, and died on the cross for all of us. And we need to know the fullness of God's love. You know, none of us, I don't believe, would be even be capable of fathoming the idea of giving our child for someone else. But it says that when God did that, he commanded his love towards us. Doesn't say that it was just some easy, whimsical thing that God did. No, it says that he commanded, he directed his love, and he put power, love, and faith in motion towards us so that he could give us Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Amen? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I really want us to hear something just for a moment, because it says that he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Remember out of the book of John, the Lord says that any who believed on him, he gave them power. And I want you to know that how the Lord gives us power that works in us is that when we hear that word and we apply it and we use our faith and we go into prayer, then understand that the power of God is being released on our life. Amen? And that power is exceeding, that power is abundant, and that power will touch every situation that we have need of. Amen? I want you to know that God is ready to work in our life in this year. God is ready to take everything that we have, and he will handle it. Amen? Remember, the Bible says, casting all my cares, not just one or two and not just a few, I'm going to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for us. And I tell you what, if you have seen the Lord work once on your behalf, and I know you have, then you will see the Lord work again on your behalf. Amen? Because he is the one who wants to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen? I want you to know that I believe that God is lining us up right now and doing great things for us, in us, and on our behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just exalt you right now, Father. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing on our behalf, God. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing on the behalf of your people, Father. Lord, you're so faithful. God, you are so faithful. Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And Lord, in the middle of this thing called life, your abundance is available to us, Father. Lord, I pray that we would be stirred, God, that we remember that how we began this race is how we need to finish this race. We began with a confession, God. We heard of Jesus, and we got saved. And God, now as we hear the promises in the Bible, God, let us just release our faith so that your power can work on our behalf, God. Father, you are here at every moment. You never leave us nor forsake us. God, you are faithful. And you're even here right now looking to move on our behalf, Father. And Lord, we just declare your goodness and your grace, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for your abundance on this great day. And Father, we just thank you for your love, your mercy, and your greatness that's upon us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah.